Today I have something. It's a two-part kind of lesson that I'm going to do in these two sessions this morning. And I just call it Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. And you all know that story, right? The story of Snow White and how that the queen had the baby and she had skin as white as snow, lips as red as blood, and hair as black as ebony, and they named her Snow White. Of course, the queen mother passed away, and daddy married a wicked stepmother. And so this woman was beautiful. This woman that he married was beautiful. But she had a morning ritual, and she would go to the mirror, the magic mirror, remember? And she would look, and she would say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of us of them all?" And the mirror would reply, "You are my queen. You are." Until one day, beautiful Snow White passes by the mirror, and the mirror changed his mind. And so that morning when the queen came to the mirror, she got a different answer. And she heard, "There is none so fair as Snow White." And that became the morning reply. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And the mirror would say, "There is none so fair as Snow White." And so hatred began to boil in that wicked queen's heart. And the story continues, but I want to interject here. The queen must have been lovely, don't you think? I mean, for the mirror to say, "You are the fairest of all," she must have been lovely. And she must have really been a beauty. But somehow her extreme beauty caused her to hate all other beauty. And her beauty was her ruin. Just like another story I know that I read in the book of Ezekiel. And that is the story of Lucifer. And first of it, in Isaiah, let me read you his story, how beautiful he was. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I want you to just count with me the eyes in this passage, okay? Somebody keep count for me. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." How many times did he say "I" there? Five times. Six times? Somebody counted six? Five or six times? A lot too many. And now Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And find out just exactly how beautiful he was. Ezekiel 28. I'm going to read verses 13 through 19. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Doesn't that sound beautiful? Can you imagine? This was his covering. Every precious jewel. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created." Perfect. That is a big word. Perfect. "Until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's how Lucifer fell. Now, not only was he cast out of the garden, not only was he cast away from God, but he was also cursed. And from that day to this, he despises beauty. His hatred for women was rooted in his hatred for beauty. And there, his goal now is to steal, kill, and destroy anything that is lovely. Then to top it off, God cursed him in the garden, foretelling that he would be brought down by what? A woman's seed. Do you understand how this is getting personal now? Girls, he despises you. He wants to destroy you. And in Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan fell because of his beauty, and his revenge now is to assault beauty. He hates beauty. He especially hated Eve because she embodied the glory of God. Now, I want you to understand, this is kind of technical here, but I want you to get this. Ephesians 5:24-25. I want to read that scripture to you. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I'm not going to talk about submission. Don't get scared. Don't run off. Some of y'all just remembered something really serious you got to go do right now. But no, I want you to understand something. This is a passion for purpose. This is our theme, right? How many of you would really like just in very simple terms know what your purpose is? Why are you here? I'm getting ready to teach this to you. Your purpose. God's purpose for Eve, for bringing Eve into the equation, was simply this. For her to attract the world to God. So she was a prelude to the church-Christ relationship. The church's purpose is to draw the world to Christ. And as Christ loved the church, husbands love your wives, as Christ loved the church. It's all a big analogy. See, we are just living analogies of what God is wanting to do for this world. For God so loved the world that he gave himself. He gave everything because he loved the world. He created you for a purpose. Your purpose was to draw men to Christ. Okay? So, Satan's jealousy tries to destroy every female born on this earth. And he attacks us on many levels. He comes against us every day, ladies, because he despises us. He despises us intensely. We are his, what is that word, nemesis. He hates us. And he attacks on many levels, but I tell you what, he starts right here in the mirror. And many times he wins the battle before you ever get out of the bathroom in the mornings. Before you ever leave your bedroom in the morning, he has won the battle. Now, this mirror is not a magic mirror. But this mirror has three dimensions. And I'm going to talk to you about the three dimensions of the mirror. Okay? Now, the first dimension of the mirror is the girl that everybody sees. The girl everybody sees. Now, first of all, I'm going to keep saying this, but remember, what is your purpose? To attract the world to God. And you know what the devil does in this first dimension of the mirror? He distorts your purpose. That's his favorite ploy, is to divert, destroy and distort your purpose. Now, there's several scriptures. I'm just going to call them off, but they all say the same thing. 1 Chronicles 16:29. 2 Chronicles 20:21. Psalms 22 and 2. Psalms 96 and 9. Now, how many scriptures do you know that are repeated four times? Do you think it might be an important scripture? Let's have a sword drill. Somebody real fast turn to, let's do Psalms 29 and 2. First one. Read. The beauty of holiness is mentioned word for word four times. Do you think that might be important? The beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, for some reason, we get that all confused, and holiness is not beautiful. It's like a cross to bear sometimes. It's just like, why do women always have to be the ones to bear all the hardship and the, you know, it's, we have the problems and we have the things that we have to fix, and holiness is beautiful. And I've written a book. It's called Ribbons of Blue. It's a little blue book back there. And because when I was born into a family that shortly thereafter came to the Lord. And my mom raised me as a new convert. Sister Glover knows my mother. She is one sweet woman. She's 82 years old. And she put a love for holiness in me. And I had to, as I got older, I had to look back at it and try to figure out, what did she do? Because I was seeing girls I grew up with, preacher's kids that I grew up with, that literally the moment they got old enough, they went the other way. And they became so unholy. And I just couldn't figure, I was like, how could they do that? But it was something my mom did. And so in this book, it's called Ribbons of Blue, and I just tell you how she just tied, every day, she tied ribbons of blue into my life, ribbons of holiness that are, they're a part of me. It's like in my blood, it's part of my tissue, it's me. I love holiness. And I sat under those ministers throughout my life that made holiness so ugly. You know, they just made it, and they were men of God, but they weren't women. And they didn't get it. Holiness was their switch that there was their gavel that they proclaimed from their pulpit, and it was so hard and so ugly. And I was determined that It's my goal in my life. It's my mission. It's my passion. It's my ministry, is to explain to women that is not holiness. Holiness is beautiful. Why would he have said in his word to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness four separate times if it was not beautiful? He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He didn't tell us to be anything else. He didn't tell us to be magnificent or omnipotent or omnipresent or to be powerful or to be almighty. He just said, be holy. Because beauty, holiness is beautiful. And we are the epitome of beauty. And we are so privileged to know that. Now, if you understand holiness, holiness is what attracts the world to God. That's it. That's what attracts the world. How many times have you ladies walked into a restaurant with your family, and you know, the guys are all there, and it's like everybody just stops eating, and they watch you come in. They're like, and it used to, my daughter-in-law would say, I wish they'd take a picture, it would last longer. And I would tell them, sweetie, they see God. They see holiness on us, and it's taken their breath away. They don't even understand it, but they're like, what was that? What did I just feel? And because, see, my mom, that's what she taught me. They're looking at us, Wanda, because they see Jesus. They don't see us. They see holiness. They see beauty. Isn't that amazing? The enemy wants us to think holiness is bondage and restriction. He is petrified of godly, holy women. He is scared to death of you. Because holiness is what attracts the world to God. He hates holiness because he hates beauty. Do you understand that? And so he distorts and perverts our purpose. And do you know what he does? He causes women to desire to attract the world to themselves. Do you see that? You see what happens? And so as we dress, we think, oh, would this look sexy? Would this look attractive? Does this accentuate my waist? Oh, it's a little bit too high. Let's make it a little lower. This cleavage will be so. This will get me points in the office. So he wants us to attract the world to us. Do you know what that's called? It's a big long word. It's called lasciviousness. Anyone that causes someone to lust, that's the word, lasciviousness. When you see that about all the people that's going to hell and burn forever, that word in there, that, you know, the lascivious will be in the lake of fire, because that is attracting the world to you. Now, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19, 21, I just so happen to have this scripture here. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, listen to these. These are some tough words. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Murders and lascivious in the same sentence? Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we've read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, but then Matthew 5:28, Jesus takes it to a whole nother level. He says, he announces that if a man even looks at a woman to lust, he has committed adultery with her. With her? That means she's there in the bed too. Not like, well, if he wasn't so carnal looking at me, if he didn't, wasn't so, whatever the words I can't say that's on tape, that you've said, it's his problem, it ain't my problem. But it says he commits adultery with her in his heart, meaning also that she is also guilty of adultery. See how Satan perverts this purpose. Our purpose is to draw men to Christ. And when we track them to us, oh, we get in a bunch of trouble and we don't even realize it. If she conducts herself in a manner to cause men to lust, or if she dresses in a way that attracts a man's eyes to lust, she's guilty of adultery. And believe you me, you can wear your sleeves to your wrist and to your ears, your neck to your ears and to your, you know, your hem to the floor, and still be dressed sensuously and seductively. Because the way you carry yourself, the way you, just your whole persona is all included in that when you try to attract to yourself. Do you see why Satan has perverted our purpose, ladies? He hates our beauty. He hates our purpose. He wants to steal our purity. He wants to kill our influence. He wants to destroy our potential. The way you dress, the way you wear your hair, the way you act, what does it say about you? Just let's do some inventory. Let's do some mirror looking. Let's see. On the average day, not just ladies' retreat, not Sunday, normal, your normal day. The image is that you see the girl that everybody sees. That girl is a reflection of how you feel about yourself. You may not even be aware of it. But as you dress on a daily, you know, just your daily trip to the post office or whatever, that girl, that image is telling a story. If she's modest, clean, groomed, she says, I respect myself. If she's frumpy, unkept, wrinkled, she says, I don't give a flip about myself. If she's sexy, lustful, revealing, she says, I have no respect for myself. I need a man's attention to validate me and make me feel visible. Men, by and large, look the same, dress the same. You know, you really can't tell a big difference in a Christian man and a worldly man. They just basically, you know, they all kind of look the same. But godly women stand out, not only in their attire, but in the way they carry themselves. To attract the world to God, girls, we have to be intentional in our purpose. Now I'm going to talk to you about a couple other things. Be intentional. Be a good listener. It's not all about just how you're dressed. It's very important because, you know, people say, well, it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. But if I come in here drinking some water in a Budweiser can and, you know, declare, well, it's water. It doesn't matter what the outside says. It matters. Let's just say, okay, it matters. Can we all agree? It matters. But let's look at some other things. Be a good listener. You know, I read a book early in my marriage. It said, it takes so little to be above average. And it's true. It's so, you know, it's... Ask someone, how are you? And then listen to them. Listen, really listen. Be a noticer. You look like you got a lot on your mind, sis. Is everything okay? Be a noticer. How'd your test go? How was your doctor's appointment? Have you got the results back from that? I heard your prayer request the other night. How's your son? Be a noticer. If you want to really read a good book, there's a book called The Noticer by Andy Andrews. It is incredible. He's written several. Anything by Andy Andrews, if you're looking for something to read, if you do Kindle, you can download. If you do Audible, you can download it to Audible. Me and my husband just did Audible on our last road trip, and my husband says, I want you to buy this book because I got to take some notes. It's incredible. The Noticer. Just notice. Pay attention. Be in the moment. Now, I'm telling you, this is something right now that we're dealing with. I don't know how it is up here in Alaska, but we're dealing with something called technology. You can't hardly even have a meal with your loved ones without if it's not the phone ringing, it's their texting or their. I was at a family dinner not too long ago. It wasn't just my own children, but it was a family, you know, huge family get together. And one of the members of my family at the dinner table that was a special meal had their iPad. As we were having a discussion, they're on Facebook. And if it had not been an elder of mine, I probably would have went over there and snatched it out of their hand. Be in the moment. Be there. Really be there. This is something we struggle with. I struggle with it because I have so many hats that I wear. If I don't keep up with my email, when I get to it, I'm like, I have 500. So, you know, if I get a minute, I'll just go ahead and go on there and check my email real quick and see if I got anybody that needs to hear back from me real quick. But be in the moment. Be with the one you're with. You know, when you walk into a room, what does your body language say? It should say, there you are. Oh, there you are. That's what your body language should say. Not, here I am. I have arrived. The party can get started. I am here. Now, if you're a sanguine personality, you know that we struggle with this. Give me an audience. They may not remember what you wore or what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. That's a good statement. And you know what? Your arrival has the ability to create chaos or calm. Now, y'all, I know y'all don't have this problem in Alaska. But it's like in North Carolina, you know, when we have ladies' functions, it's almost like a relief when she don't show up. You know her? The one that walks in and it's drama. It's like,
I've been sitting in traffic. I tell you, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. My kids are, you know, creeps. My husband's a jerk. My mom's an idiot.
And they just suck all the happy out of their room. And you just want to smack them upside the head because it's like, ugh. Why do you puke in my ear every time you walk in the room? It's like, honestly, sometimes I'm like, God, please call me to a deserted island in the middle of nowhere. You know, the phone rings and you're like, oh, it's her. No, no, I can't. I can't. I can't do that right now. I can't deal with that. Do you want to be that woman? Do you want to be her? Then intentionally don't be her. If you need to take some pills or whatever you need to do, get you some oils, some essential oils, get you some herbs, see a doctor, get that junk fixed, because ain't nobody got time for that. Have you ever noticed that people that are, that there's certain people that everybody loves to be around them because they're fun, they're positive, they make you feel good, they make you feel happy. It's like, I have friends that'll call me and say, I need a Wanda day. Let's meet, you know, we'll both drive somewhere and just meet halfway. Because it's just that you have those friends, I just need a girlfriend day. I need to be with somebody that gets me. You know, because it's just, oh my goodness. And then there's all our, you know, there's the whole Facebook thing. It's like, why do they tell us on, you know, now I'm depressed. You know, okay, great. You found a mouse turd in your cereal. Thank you for sharing that with me. I hope that lady is really on her way to recovery. We need to have recovery classes, because really, you know, I used to think she just needs the Holy Ghost. No, she needs medicated. You know, she needs to understand that she needs to get her hormones in check. Now, listen, I just went to college and graduated last year, and I found out that, guess how many days, good days we have, ladies, a month. Two good days a month where we're either not being flooded with hormones or depleted of hormones. So find your balance, take your antioxidants, take your vitamins, take your herbs. Seriously, there are things out there. You don't have to, I'm saying medicated, I don't really mean that you got to get on Premarin or whatever that is. And some of you young girls are going, oh my God, I want to die when I'm 35. I don't want to go through the change. Hey, my husband and I actually lived with my parents for a while, and it was while she was going through. And my husband told me, he said, I will divorce you. Get it in your head right now. If you act like that, we're getting a divorce. Because my mom, she really, you know, back then the doctors didn't believe it was a problem. It was like, ah, it's all in your head. So she laid in bed and cried, and she puked. That's what she did for like 2 years. It was horrible. She had had breast cancer, so they wouldn't give her anything. She was like, it was awful. It was really sad. And so I started studying years before I ever approached. to find out. And then I was a pastor's wife when I was 25. So I'd have ladies come talk to me, and they'd be like, I hate my husband. I hate my kids. I hate my life. And I'm like, you just need the Holy Ghost. You know, just pray in tongues. Speak in tongues. And then when when I was like 48, somewhere in there, I had, I was a little bit younger than that, 44, somewhere in there. I had a gastric bypass surgery. So I lost like over, you know, in just a couple months, I lost like 65, 70 pounds. Well, nobody told me that your estrogen is stored in body fat. So I woke up one morning, slam dunked into menopause. And I thought I was going crazy. I was crying. I had anxiety attacks in the middle of the night. I wake up, what if I went blind? Oh my God, what if I went blind? Ah! And I start crying. I had to wake my husband up, baby, pray for me that I never go blind. He's like, what? It was awful. I had panic attacks on airplanes, tried to take all my clothes off. Yeah, it was really scary. And I was like, this junk is real. All these women that have been talking to me all these years about menopause, they wasn't joking. This mess is real. And I even was like, okay, well, I'm gonna pray. I'd get in my recliner and I'd be like, I can't even read. I couldn't even read the Bible. I couldn't pray. If I did pray, it's like he didn't show up. It's like, I remember sleeping with the Bible on my chest in the recliner for like, just hoping that somehow by osmosis. And I finally called the doctor one day. I was in a restaurant and the restaurant shrunk, right? I was just sitting there and the restaurant just shrunk. And there was too many people breathing my air, and I had a breakdown. So I went in the bathroom, and I remember there was a big mirror on the wall, and I was like, ah! Ah! I'm looking in the mirror, I'm just screaming and crying. So I called my husband, I'm like, Jeff, you need to come to El Chucan, I'm in the bathroom. And I'm supposed to meet this lady to talk to her about her problems. And it's too small. It's too little. I can't breathe. And he's like, why did you go out like this? Why did you leave the house today if you were feeling like this? I'm like, I didn't feel this way till I got here. And then everybody started coming in and breathing my air. And it's just awful. And so he's like, I'll be right there. So he's like, call your doctor now. So I called the doctor. I was like, I need to talk to my doctor now. So I've never called to ask to speak to a doctor where I actually got to talk to the doctor. But that day, bingo, I'm on the phone with my doctor. I was like, I don't know what's wrong. It's like the restaurant's too small. People are breathing my air. And I don't know what to do. He's like, okay. Go to Walmart, to the pharmacy. I'm going to call you in a prescription. Take a bottle of water with you. While you're at the counter, take one pill with your water, and you'll feel better by the time you get to your car. It was like, honestly, I took a Xanax. I walked to the car. I was like, I got this. Y'all can all breathe. I don't even care. Breathe all the air you want. I got plenty of air right here. I'm good. And so then, you know, as I read the side effects of Xanax, I decided I probably should find something more natural. And that is how I got into essential oils, because I figured out that this little oil did the same thing for me, and so I just walked around sniffing oil. It's hilarious because the first oil that I used, really, I love the smell of it, but my whole family would just, they said it smelled like an old woman's armpit. I don't know how they knew how that smelled, but I'd be sitting in church and I'd start feeling a little panicky and I'd open up my geranium oil and they'd all go, put that away, it stinks. My Lord, that's not even in my notes. That must be anointed. That must be the anointment right there. But ladies, what I'm trying to tell you is you can create chaos or calm. And if you feel like that you are creating chaos, find out how you can change that. I have heard so many women say, that's just how I am. That's just how I am. Take it or leave it. Well, honey, that ain't how God wants you to be, or he wouldn't have given the Holy Ghost out. If he wanted you just like you were, he loves you too much to leave you like that. If people tell you, no, I can't go to lunch, I think I'm going to call and see if I can get a root canal today. You know, it might be you. You know, if you can't find anybody to hang out with because they all seem to be, you know, going to the dentist, going to the doctor, you know, visiting funeral homes to sing. Maybe if you've had 9 husbands, it might be you. So what I'm saying is figure it out. Whatever you need, figure it out. Figure it out. Ask your best friend, do I suck the happy out of your world? Ask your kid. You know, if your kids don't want, you haven't seen them in 14 years because they just, you know, they have busy things to do. They have a life. You know, they have lots of things. If they don't want to come see mama, check it out, girlfriend. You might need some oil. But I refuse to allow Satan to use me for his purpose. Whether it's to, you know, you might say, well, I ain't got no trouble with, I don't want to be lustful, but, you know, I create chaos. And, you know, some women create chaos by volunteering. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so we think they got it. You know, they got that job. And then the day before they call and say, I think I'm going to be sick tomorrow. So I'm probably not going to be able to cook that big pot of chowder that I volunteered and that cornbread that I volunteered. So you kind of find somebody else to do that. I know that never happens in Alaska. But if the enemy can use you to cause chaos, that he can use you to create situations, you know, we are like, we're kind of like the moon. We're a bright light, but really there is no light in the moon. Do you know that? The moon is a reflection of the sun. But have y'all ever had an eclipse here where the moon actually gets between the sun and the earth? That is what's happening with a lot of us. We are standing between the light of God and our world. And all they can see is darkness. And all they can see, they're like, if that's a Christian, I ain't going. I will go to hell because I am not going to live like that. I'm serious. I have heard family members say, I'll tell you right now, if that man is a preacher, I'm going straight to heaven because he is, you know, he is this or that, whatever. Because they're eclipsing the sun. They're blocking the light of the world. And that's so sad. So sad. Am I running out of time? Now, I'm coming to the end of that first dimension of that girl that everybody sees. Can we just bow our head and just pray, God, help me to be authentic. Help me, Lord Jesus, to reflect your image. Help me, Lord, to be real, to be genuine. Help me, God, to show my world that I am drawing them to you. Help me to draw my world to you, Jesus. Help me not to get in the way in any way, shape, or form, but to draw those that need you to you. And help me, God, not to be a hindrance. Help me not to eclipse the light that you have directed at my world. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be in alignment, don't you? I want to fulfill his purpose for my life. Now, the second dimension of the mirror is the girl that you see. That's the girl that you see every morning when you get up and you're like, oh. Who is that woman and how did she get so old? And this image reflects our response to how we feel about ourselves. Sadly, none of us are happy with this girl. None of us. We look in that mirror and we're like, oh, she's too fat. She's too skinny. We hate her nose. We hate her lips. We hate her eyes. She's never quite good enough. She's too pale. She's too dark. Her hair is too straight. Her hair is too curly. None of us are happy with that girl that we see when we look in the mirror. I heard a story about a lady who was about 50 years old, and she was at work one day and dropped dead with a heart attack. And some coworkers jumped in there and they revived her, and the ambulance came and took her to the hospital. And while she was out in that, she had an out-of-body experience. And she went to where God was, and he told her, he said, "Don't fear. You're going to live 25 more years." And the next thing she knew, she woke up and they had revived her. And whew, she was like, wow, 25 years. So they kept her in the hospital overnight to watch her. And she's laying there thinking, she's like, 25 years, I'll be 75 when I die. That's a lot of years left, you know. And she's like, man, I'm going to live 25 more years. I want to go ahead and get some work done while I'm here in the hospital. So she got everything tucked that she could get tucked. Everything lifted she could get lifted. She got everything enhanced she could get enhanced. She got everything dyed, tied, and, you know, fixed up. So a few days later, when she's actually leaving the hospital, she's walking out to her car, and an ambulance runs over and kills her. Dead. So when she wakes up, she's in heaven, and she is madder than a hornet. And she's running around, where is he at? Where is God? Where is he? So she comes marching up to the throne, and she says, what in the world? You told me I had 25 more years to live, and I spent all this money getting myself beautiful. And he's looking at her, and he said, girl, I didn't even recognize you. And sometimes that's how I feel when I look in the mirror in the morning. I'm like, who is that old woman looking at me? And we look in the mirror and we think, I can do better. Sometimes we can't even look that girl straight in the eye because we're so ashamed of what we see. If someone gives us a compliment, we dismiss it. We can't even accept a compliment. Somebody, you know, says, you look nice tonight. Ah, I got this at a yard sale. I like that outfit. Ah, it was on sale. You know, I got it at the thrift shop. You know, I love your hair. Oh, I couldn't do nothing with it tonight. We always have something. We dismiss every compliment. We can't even accept a compliment because we just don't like that girl that we see in the mirror. And the devil fools us into comparing ourselves with each other. You know, when you get my age, you're like saying, and how old are you? And you're thinking, do I look that old? She's a year younger than me. I think I look younger than her. Pretty sure. We compare ourselves to one another. And that's not good. If we don't look like the girl on the front of the magazine, we can't be beautiful, can we? If we don't have a cool, prestigious job, we can't be successful, can we? If we're not making, you know, a six-figure income, then obviously we're of no value. If we're not married or at least engaged or at least dating Mr. Wonderful, surely we're a loser. The girl we see just makes us sick sometimes. If we could change into someone prettier or skinnier or smarter or richer, we'd all do it. We would change. If we could, we'd say, I want to be somebody else. So, because we don't like that girl, we find somewhere to hide because we don't like how looking at this girl makes us feel. And you know, we hide like Adam and Eve did because we feel guilty and ashamed. And all of our hiding places are different. Some of us hide in different ways. Some hide behind a new hair color or a new hairstyle or a new cut. And we have to be in total control. You know, I will not be gray. you know. I've seen women, and I know they have no, they've lost their identity, because you can tell by looking at them that is not their hair color. I mean, you know, you can't have flaming red hair and gray eyebrows. That. And the thing of it is, as we age, God, our pigmentation and our skin changes to match our hair, and it just clashes. And why not just gracefully accept it and go with it? It's beautiful. That's the true beauty of growing older. Everyone avoids the wrath of confrontation. We won't be told what to do, so we hide and we control what we can control. I can control this, so I'm going to control how this girl looks. Some cover up the girl, you know, whether it's with tattoos or makeup or clothes, name brand only. We try to create this identity, different. You know, I have friends that literally think I am not classy because I don't have a problem wearing a shirt I bought at Walmart. I don't have a problem. They would rather go to a thrift shop and get a name brand, because it's a name brand, than to wear something just, you know, I can't even think of it, like whatever, an off brand. I don't know about brands anyway. I just like, it's cute. It don't make me look as fat as I am. I'm wearing it. It's whole, hey, when you find a one that's got sleeves where it needs to be and the neckline, it's like, hallelujah. Buy three in every color. My little granddaughter, she's just turned 6, and her name's Juliana. It's your niece as well. And the other night we were at a restaurant, and someone said something about what she was going to do when she grew up. She goes, I'm going to be a designer when I grow up. And my niece said, a designer? What are you going to design? She looked at her like, what do you think I'm going to design? She said, I'm going to design dresses, appropriate ones. Six years old, and what this world needs is some appropriate dresses. But some girls try to cover up the girl. Some try to ignore the girl by staying so busy. You know, if it's not their career or their children, overscheduling, obsessive cleaning, volunteering, anything to keep us from having to face ourselves. I have friends and I'm like, what in the world are they doing? It's like constantly, they're always, they're you know, on the rescue squad. Plus they work two full-time jobs, and they're going to college. And it's like, they're so busy, they just don't want to face the girl in the mirror. So they just stay away from her. Some indulge the girl. They overindulge with, you know, whatever it is. To cover up those feelings of inadequacy, they overindulge, whether it's in alcohol or drugs or food or shopping or promiscuity or gambling. Whatever it is, they overindulge the girl just to keep her quiet. Some punish the girl by starving and binging and puking and torturing their body with strenuous exercise or just hiding behind the pain because that's a safe place. And some bury the girl in novels and movies and fiction stories, escaping into bogus online identities in chat rooms with somebody they're not, you know, a picture of somebody that they're not. And some even medicate themselves with prescription or illegal drugs, anything to keep from living in reality and being who they really are. So the underlying problem here that feeds this vicious cycle is fear. 1 Peter 3 and 6 says, do not give way to fear. Fear is why we hide. Fear is why we strive. Fear is why we control. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Isaiah 30:15 in the New King James says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Is the girl you see healthy and whole? Or is she full of fear and frustration, living a fragmented life, longing for peace and protection? I read just this week, 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. Now, it doesn't say perfect faith, which is what we all think we need. If I could just have enough faith, I wouldn't be so afraid. If I just had enough faith, you know, I could be healed of cancer. And the whole thing is I'm fearful of dying. But if we have perfect love, if you could understand how much he loves you, you would not be afraid to look at that girl in the mirror. Because, see, the law is fulfilled, Galatians 5:14, in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the enemy knows if he can keep you from loving yourself, you will not be able to function and love your neighbor. Do you understand why he keeps this girl so confused? The girl that you see, he does not want you to be able to fulfill your purpose, to draw men to Christ. He pits you against her. He has an agenda. He wants to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. He destroys you with and controls you with fear when all you need is God's love. If you could understand how much he loves you, if you could understand that when he saw you in his mind's eye, before you were even born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he fell madly in love with you. And from that day to this, he has moved heaven and earth so that you and him could be together forever, forever, forever and ever and ever. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He adores you. His whole purpose is for you and him to be together forever and live happily ever after. Isn't that the way the fairy tale was supposed to end? And they lived happily ever after. And we will continue this study of the third dimension of the mirror after lunch, I think.